You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the Last Mountain Swire Basketball Podcast. That's right. A couple hoops in a row. Jeremy Moss here. Oh, a new... You've heard this name before. He does Nevada stuff. We got our good buddy Brandon Blake. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been quite a while, but good to be back.
Excellent. We have you on from time to time. We have some fun podcasts with you. You do Nevada stuff for us. And with the coaching hire, Steve Alford, oh boy, we'll get right to it. First, we'll get some stuff to the website. It's been kind of chill the past little while, so mwire.com is where you find some stuff. We'll have this podcast, we'll have some other basketball stuff, all sorts of NFL draft coming up, apparently sneaking up on me. Whew. But yeah, we're here. We get your thoughts. You do Nevada stuff for us. I figured Musselman's gone, Alfred's in, why not have you on? Of course, yeah. Because you got the takes, you got the basketball knowledge, you know what's going on.
I get the part of the time, but no, I'm kidding. Oh,
I hear you. I'm sitting with a little bit.
Yeah. It's like the internet. We're just all loud and mostly right 20% of the time. But no, I would offer, well, first we'll hit with Musselman leaving. I think it was about a week ago when
Sunday.
A week ago Sunday, like Musselman in Arkansas close, and it was, which people can remember. Earlier there was talk about that, and it kind of got brushed aside because he was in Reno the whole time, and then thought nothing much of it, and then Musselman to Arkansas is a done deal. A little bittersweet, but I got it.
Are you surprised? Because here's when people listen before, I'll let you hear on it what I mentioned when Eli and me chat about it. Arkansas is basically the UNLV of the SEC.
Accurate.
National titles, basketball with slightly better success since their last national title. But are you surprised? Like leaving for a bigger job didn't surprise me. Going to Arkansas sort of did.
It did too. I just feel you look at Musselman's sort of history in a sense. He's a West Coast guy, played in college at San Diego, USD, not SDSU.
Yeah.
His pro coaching stint,
Kings,
Golden State and Sacramento. That Golden State pre everything. It was mostly tethered to the West Coast. Sans 1 year as an assistant in LSU. So you would figure, you would figure he would stay in the West Coast, given that he did apply for interview for the Cal job 2 years ago, and wisely backed away from him. It was just Arkansas. But here's the thing with Arkansas. They got money. And they have the new facility, a brand new stadium. So Arkansas, as I like to say, or I've heard people say, they got a lot of want to. They got the money and they got the want to be good. So Arkansas ponied up the cash and Musselman's going east or southeast, actually.
Yeah.
But you're right about, you had mentioned the UNLV comp, and it's interesting. And thought about it for a moment, it's like, yeah, it makes sense. Because the last national title was 95.
Mm-hmm.
They have not made the Sweet 16 since, wait for it, 1996.
Ooh.
They won the last SEC tournament title was 2000.
So you're telling me it's been a while.
Quite a bit. They've made the tournament before under Stan Heath and John Pelfrey, but haven't really gotten past the second weekend. So there's a lot of stuff to unpack, and it's not like he's going into an SEC conference where all you got to do is like take out Kentucky. It's Kentucky, it's LSU, it's Florida, it's Auburn. He's already running kind of behind the power curtain, as it seems.
Yeah.
So he's got a
in Tennessee, you didn't mention them.
At Tennessee, I forgot about Tennessee. So right there, you're already behind the power curtain in terms of league play, in terms of where he's at in the league at Arkansas.
It's tough. I agree. You know the SEC a bit more than me for most everything, but you're right. It's not just Kentucky. Kentucky's like my hands going high. You can't see way up here. Tennessee's close. LSU, how they want to share the title. It's kind of crazy this year. Won the regular season title. There's really good teams. But right. As you mentioned, Tennessee was ranked tied for a while. Auburn made the deep run. There's good teams, but it's not like an unbeatable league. Arkansas is near the bottom, like you're right. But I would say you get a couple of guys, you could compete right away, I think, in this conference. Maybe not beat Kentucky regularly, or maybe just Tennessee because they're number one this past year, and they keep him Bruce Pearl. Or not Bruce, excuse me, not Bruce Pearl, Rick Barnes. Sorry, wrong coach.
Rick Barnes.
Yeah, the other guy. Guy who almost went to UCLA said, no thanks. But yeah. I think there's a way to get up quickly. It's not like the ACC where you have 5-6 top 10 teams. They have a lot of one super great team. Like Tennessee's really good, but I'm still like, well, they're up there.
There's a senior laden team.
Yeah, I'm not discounting them, but traditionally what you see is Kentucky and then really everybody else, but everybody else is still four top 25 teams.
Right. He's not going
to look bad. Yeah, I'm just saying you're right, there's really good teams. But it's not, like I said, not ACC worthy, where you have the three number one seeds this year where everybody's top 10. There's top five Kentucky, and then you're probably another top 10 team, but it's a bunch of really good top 25 teams who could make a good stretch run and beat anybody in any given night. It's not these 3-4 dominant teams that are just going to crush Vanderbilt and everybody else in the SEC.
Right. In the SEC basketball this year, you had a clear top two, Tennessee and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You had a very good, at times muddled middle, and then you had your Vanderbilt, your Georgia, your Missouri that was just off, just nightmares. So it's not like he's going to be going up against Musselman going to Arkansas. It's not like he's going to be going up against the New Mexico's or the Colorado States. It's going to be brutal, and I hate to put on my SEC homer hat, but it's honest to say the competition is going to be tougher.
Oh, that's clear. You don't need to do that. That's clearly the case. It's right. More difficult. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll just say real quick. For Musselman, for me, it's two things, and Chris Murray mentioned this in one of his articles from the Chris Murray from Nevada Sportsnet. Two things that I'm interested to see what Musselman's going to do at Arkansas, because when he was at Nevada, what was the two things he resisted doing or didn't do at all? Play freshman.
Yeah, and recruit or play deep bench. Recruit.
Right. Or play deep bench. I mean, you can really only the deep bench too. So he's going to have to tack on one or two more guys.
Yeah.
But the two points I wanted to mention was that Chris Murray mentioned was got to play freshman. And oh my god, I'm blanking on the freshman part, and then also the recruiting part. Mm-hmm. And in a league where, and it's interesting with Arkansas, the state itself has had a lot of talented players come from that state. It's kind of hard to imagine, but they've had talented players, high school players in that state, but they haven't gone to Arkansas. They've gone very rarely. They've gone to Arkansas. They've even gone to Kentucky or totally out of state. So that's going to be up to Musselman to try to – I'm interested in see how he's going to change his tactics, whereas Nevada – he could work in Nevada by not relying so much on freshmen. But I'll be interested to see how he changes. I think he could do it, but it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, I think he can too, because you got Jordan Brown to commit to Nevada. And part of it too, you're in a league where like recruiting is a big deal, obviously, but – he took a program that won 9 wins. Let's do what we can. Quickly, he found really good success. I would imagine had he stayed another couple of years, let's say he stayed 2 more years, it would have been more evenly recruiting versus transfer, bringing in transfer guys. Because he did bring in Brown, like I said, All-American, or what, top 50 guy, 5-star guy, I believe. He didn't play a ton, which maybe that's why he's possibly on his way out. We'll see. But give him a couple of years. I think he did out of the necessity, like how can I get the best team as quickly as possible with guys who have good experience. In Arkansas, there's always going to be transfers coming in and out, but I think he's proven it, but you're right, he needs to prove more of it because he needs to maybe do 80-20 recruiting high school guys compared to transfers.
Right. In a league where, you know, and I'll point to my – I look at a team like Florida who Nevada lost to in the tournament. They were young, but they played Florida played freshmen. that's going to get that experience. And, you know, Kentucky's going to be half freshmen and talented freshmen. So those are, I mean, I just named two. So you're going to have teams in the league that's not going to be afraid to bring in talented freshmen. It helps with Arkansas, you know, if he keeps the transfer route, you know, he'll have that experience. He'll have the experience on the court, obviously. But he can't, Musselman, to have success at Arkansas, he can't, he has to adapt.
He does. And then before we get to the moving on from that, Nevada made a last-ditch effort of about $2 million per year. Arkansas only paid him like $2.5 million. Like, only, but the difference wasn't much. Wonder, like, I kind of figured, hearing that came out after he signed the deals on the jet, had the videos and stuff with him and the AD in Arkansas, I figured when that came out, $2 million, I'm like, is he leaving just because he realized it's so hard to be that good? Because he lost, what, four or five games regular season, ended up being a lower seed than he figured they would be, a 7 seed in the tournament, part of it losing late. But he figured to go to Arkansas, I can win 21 games and be in the NCAA tournament as a 9 seed or something. You know what I mean? Not pressure, but the expectation to win every game is not there when you're in a conference where you can be a top 50 KenPom Burnett team just by virtue of playing the SEC.
12 SEC games, right. But also you got to keep in mind with – Arkansas, going back to their recent coaches, Mike Anderson won. I feel like I have to look at his stats.
Yeah, I have it right here. He did fairly well.
He won. I believe he had a few 20-win seasons.
Yeah, he had. He was there for like 8 years. He had, let's see real quick in my math, 24 wins, 22 or more wins, 119, 118, a couple 18. And I think part of it was they were 26-10 in 17, 23-12, 18. 18, 16, 19, so like a slight decline each year.
Right.
And I don't know if that's worthy of firing them, maybe have a high expectation, but my point is he doesn't have to go like 28-4 or something. He can go like 23-12 and be ranked like they were 2 years ago, Arkansas was, or stuff like that, where they're 23-12, finish the season like ranked 18. So that, maybe that's part of it too, where he can have a few hiccups but still get that success he's looking for.
And also keep in that, and then, but also I look at Arkansas when I was getting to like Mike Anderson and Stan Heath, who used to coach at Arkansas. Mike Pelfrey, I'm not going to be messing up his name. Pelfrey,
yeah,
Mike
John, Pelfrey, John Pelfrey,
John Pelfrey.
Sorry, I got it right in front of you, staring at it. So
yeah, and I know because John Pelfrey is a Florida assistant under Billy Donovan. Those guys, I believe, if you can look at the records, had 20 win seasons, but that Arkansas has been, for lack of a better term, since Nolan Richardson was unjustly let go, or has been stuck on mediocre.
Since Richardson was gone in 2002, they've been to six NCAA tournament appearances with only twice made it to second weekend, and only, like you mentioned, the one Sweet 16 appearance in Anderson's, like, what, seventh year or something, fifth year. So they've been okay, but not great. A few losing seasons here or there, like that bad Stan Heath 9-19 first year. Took him a couple years to get going. He was gone.
Made the tournament and got fired.
I don't know if it was fired, but he made it to a tournament 2 years in a row. 12 seed, was not there the year after.
Right. And I feel, and then also there's the other side of the coin. If Musselman is having that type of sort of trajectory in the Pelfrey, Anderson, Stan Heath realm, is the Arkansas folks going to stand with that, especially since they're paying him a lot of money to not be where they are, trying to get back to where they were in the 80s and 90s under Nolan Richardson, was what they're trying to get back to. Will Arkansas folks handle that? You're right in the sense that, okay, the difference between Nevada and Arkansas is a Musselman doesn't have to break his back to go just to make the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, he could be 20-13 if he wins a certain amount of games in conference play and non-conference play, they're a tournament team. And then, you know, single elimination tournament, anything can happen. But my thing is with the Arkansas folks is are they going to be patient, or are they going to be of the mindset of, we're paying Musselman all this money, we need to be up there with Kentucky and competing for SEC championships. It's like, hold on, you recognize who you are, you know?
Yeah.
But it like I said, it'll be interesting to see if he can get Arkansas about the doldrums of the well, not so much the doldrums out of just sort of that mediocre rut, because they haven't been bad, they just haven't been great.
No, it's true. I think, I don't know, expectations, like, I think what their goal is to be, they expect to be top three in the SEC, I think, every year. Which, it's doable, but, because if you look, like, LSU won the conference title this year. How the heck does that happen? So it's like, LSU's not a traditional basketball powerhouse. They had Shaq there, they've had some years here and there, but they're not, when you think of basketball in the SEC, or even the country, give me a good, really good program, you typically don't think of LSU, despite them having some decent success, or even Auburn. And so in Florida, I know before Billy Donovan was at Florida, they weren't, am I correct, they weren't seeing some basketball juggernaut before he got there winning national titles.
They Florida basketball had pockets of success under, they didn't really get going until the 80s. Like they made their first tournament when I was 5 years old, okay, in 1987. And then there was a little bit of a rut. Then they made the Final Four in 94 when Arkansas won the national title. No. Yeah, 94 when Arkansas won it. And then a little bit of a lull. Then Billy Donovan took over. So they had pockets of success. Yeah. LSU, pockets of success.
That's what I mean. Like, there's
right.
Teams like
Dale Brown was there forever and got them to a final. To one Final Four, which kind of Boeheimian, Jim Boeheim like, be there all those years and never had it. But you're right, pockets of success, nothing really sustainable.
So there's reasons to get there for this team. So I don't know what they want. They probably expect him, like, the top three Sweet 16 appearance most years. Yeah. Looking at the last guys they let go, I get Anderson. He missed the tournament after making it three or four. And then Pelfrey having those three really bad years. I don't know what they expect from him. They expect him to be better. They expect him to compete at that level. And we'll see. And he got a pretty good payday. And congrats for him. I'm glad he did it. It's fine. Whatever. It's good. You get a better job, go for it. And if he does great at Arkansas, when is Kyle going to retire? Going to take over Kentucky, I guess. I don't know.
Probably. I mean. Just
Coach K.
Kyle isn't going nowhere. Cal's not going nowhere.
Got the lifetime contract after UCLA was bamboozled and idiots.
UCLA.
Let's offer you less money to come to UCLA. How does that ever work?
It doesn't. And they did the same thing to Rick Barnes.
Jamie Dixon.
And Jamie Dixon. You know, the dollar goes farther in Fort Worth, Knoxville, and Lexington than UCLA. Than LA. So UCLA got a They got a pony up. up if they want something.
They get what they get. Yeah, they get what they get. They get what they pay for. We'll see.
Exactly. Mick Cronin.
All right, so let's get to our next move, UCLA, Steve Alford. Here's the thing, too, about Steve Alford. Had he been at any other school, he wouldn't have been fired. Because you want unrealistic expectations, see UCLA, see Westwood. Here's the thing about, like, really quick with Alford. Like, he had... Yeah, the 1 year he missed the tournaments when they were 15-17, but he made Sweet 16, Sweet 16, Sweet 16, like 3 years. He gets let go after losing. See, the losses at the time, losing to Belmont and teams like that, it's like, who the heck are you losing to? Every team he lost to, because our buddy Eli pointed this out, was to an NCAA tournament team this year, Liberty and Belmont, and whoever else they lost to. So not like they're losing to bad teams, it's just maybe not named teams, but the higher. I am... seriously surprised they brought in Steve Alford for a couple of reasons. I like the guy from UC Irvine, the guy from Montana, maybe even hiring from within. Because while he's done well, his name is good, typically you want to coach after losing the way Nevada is. They had their best year ever, essentially, just about regular season-wise, I believe, highest ranking. Lose your coach. Okay, that's unfortunate. Usually you want to do what UNLV did or other teams did, like, or with Colorado State, like the past couple years, coaches you bring in. Coaches who had a good run, who are, their projection is upward. They bring in the guy who was fired. Yet he's, this kind of rubs me the wrong way when I first see them. Like, really? It's like, it's all the retread guys a little bit here and there, names you always know, which is, if you're coach, you coach, but it just, when I first heard him, like, that's it, really? You're doing Steve Alford?
Well, then also you got to think they were compliant. They were talking to Trent Johnson as well.
Oh, so that was even worse.
You're talking about retread.
Ooh, no, thank you.
And I think they would have probably even gave Mark Fox a call had he not taken the Cal job, which good for Mark Fox. He's back coaching. But I was at first, I was like you in that sense. It is a retread in the sense that in the way that, you know, he did get fired, and it's not a sexy hire, you know, for using air quotes. I know you can't see me, but yeah, it's not a sexy hire. But I mean, over thinking about it over the last few days, it's again not a sexy hire, but I mean, it's a fine hire in the sense that Alford knows the area. He knows the league.
Yeah, he's won the league. Mm-hmm.
Right. He all the success at New Mexico. I think it was 6 conference titles total, regular season and tournament. You know, New Mexico was regular before they just collapsed under Craig Nealon. And maybe they're getting it right under Paul Weir. By the way, Paul Weir's fitted sweatshirts are just, that's just fantastic. I just wanted to mention that.
He's what Rick Majerus wanted to look like when he wore the sweaters, I guess.
Rest in peace, Rick Majerus.
The sweaters and the rafters, that's what they put up there at the Huntsman Center.
Rest in peace, Rick. But, yeah, before everything collapsed under Craig Neal and maybe getting right under Paul Weir, New Mexico basketball was a mainstay in the tournament. They were probably the most, next to San Diego State, probably the most consistent tournament team. I think I read a stat, maybe it was from Eli, or maybe it was somebody else. Maybe, I think it was Eli. For a certain amount of period of time, Steve Alford had just as many tournament bids when he was at New Mexico than the rest of the Mountain West.
Oh, yeah, I got it right here. Here it is. Yeah, I was looking for a tweet from him. He's made 11 tournaments in 24 years. So that's overall. That's not just in the Mountain West, clearly. Right. That's it. Iowa, with coaching in Southwest Missouri State.
Right.
Rest of the Mountain West is 7 in 42 years. I'd say it's a little misleading because you have a couple of newer coaches in the Mountain West, but it still points out he's been in the NCAA tournament basically every other year.
Right. And you look at the New Mexico's run in New Mexico. New Mexico's making this, was making somebody's postseason. And I don't think there was a Sweet 16 run in. Unlike when he was at UCLA, where 5 years there, you made it 3 times, which good for everybody. Good for everybody else, not UCLA. But
since 2016,
right. And, so I'm fine with the hire. Again, not the sexy name, but given his background, his knowledge of the reason of that conference.
Yeah.
And what he's been and the players he's had in his task, especially New Mexico and UCLA, it's good. It beats the retread market of going through Trent Johnson, which Mark Fox, or maybe they would have given Gus Arganol a shot, but he has no coaching experience, and you don't know if the UC Irvine guy, whose name I'm blanking, Russell,
something like that. He's done well out there, but then again. Yeah. It's like, I get it. Now, I'm with you, too, after thinking about it for a couple of days, see what the contract is and stuff. It's like, okay, it makes sense. And he got a raw deal at UCLA as well, I'd say. Because, had they done a little bit better, like, when he left, they ended up going 17-16 this year. Not great, but.
That team, had they not made had UCLA not made the change in December, they were going the way as all of the Pac-12, which
was Pac-12 was awful this year.
Yeah, so I mean, it was just par for the course, you know, to use a golf phrase since the Masters Day. But yeah, it was just going down that road, and rational school, or you know, would be like, okay, Lee's not good. Alford lost all his key players from a tournament team, last few tournament teams. Let's just chill and just we'll figure it out. Maybe he can get right, but nah, I gotta let him go at 7-6 losing the tournament team. So I think it's a good hire, a fine hire. We'll just be interested to see if he can keep all his players, which seems like he's at least keeping Jazz Johnson.
Yeah, we'll get to that now. Let's see. So the roster really quick, because one of our buddies sent this quick message about the transfer portal. Basically, I think seven guys were in there. Part of it too, right. When you first see that, you're alarmed, but it's like, remember, you could come back. It's not. It doesn't mean you're leaving or gone.
Right, and I mentioned, and I was in that email, the message train too, and I did, and we did.
It's eye popping at first, it's like, ooh.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's like, okay, well, it just. I'm a big believer. You know, I'm not on the podcast. I'm always a big believer of backing the players.
Yeah.
In sports. So in my instance, if a player wants, if we'll just use Jazz Johnson as an example, if he wanted to explore and try other, you know, see what other avenues, I salute, God bless. Yeah. You know. So yeah, the names at first is sort of like, ooh, that's not good. But you know, they could always with you. I think Alabama, one of their basketball players, entered himself in the portal and then took his name out. So yeah,
it happens. And Johnson's like, it was like within 2 days, like, okay, so he's coming back, because that's a big thing Alford has to do, is like, okay, who are we getting, who's staying, who's going? So you have Jordan Brown, who's still, I assume this is correct, I'm reading the latest over at Nevada Sports Center from the other day, I think from the April 11th, that's what, two days ago. So yeah. Jordan Brown's still in the transfer portal, fries the McDonald's All-American. He could have a potential stay because he was recruited by Steve Alford at UCLA, so that's positive news. Yep. Jalen Harris, however, he would have to get a waiver to be eligible because he already redshirted this year and transferred from La Tech.
That's right.
So how, even though waivers have been handed out pretty freely, it seems like, because Gary Patterson for TCU football. I want to know the names who's approving these waivers to play immediately. I'm an old man screaming because I can take that Texas job whenever I want, but I want this guy to stay here forever at Fort Worth for his 5 years.
I know.
So it's like, back be quiet, old man.
Gary.
Yeah, old man.
Back your old horse, Gary.
Like, I can be frustrated. You could be upset because, granted, waivers immediately, it's like, oh, it's kind of frustrating, but you don't need to. What are you, whatever. So Jalen Harris, I would assume he's going to stay. That makes sense because if you want to play basketball,
you'd have to sit.
He would lose a year of eligibility.
He'd lose a year, right. That's right.
Because you're already redshirted, because that's what a lot of these guys do. They transfer. Technically, you lose a year, but typically you're going to redshirt, so you're not really losing a year. You're just practicing. KJ Himes is still in the portal, freshman. You have a walk-on, cool, Jalen Thompson. I don't know. It's kind of never played. JoJo Anderson, he already transferred twice because he's at Northern Arizona before. walked on. So, and like Nizer Zuzua? Zazu?
Zazal.
That's right. Zazal. Pazal. Zazal. Got it. Grad transfers. There you go. Yeah.
Same too.
A couple guys released from letter of intent. So you have like Darrell Edwards, LSU transfer. Right. Eric Parrish, top Juco guy, requested release but still interested. They have Lindsey Drew, guard, who is injured and fifth-year senior next year, so it could be a grad transfer. Shamil Stevenson, Pitt transfer, won't be eligible until December, even if he stays with the Wolfpack, so that would be kind of tricky to transfer again.
Right.
And part of it's circumstance. Once you transfer once, like the other guy's like, do you want to move again? Because that's tough. They have Mike Lewis, not junior, Mike Lewis the second.
Yeah.
The first second. Walked on second semester last year. Plan to redshirt this next year, will be eligible in 2020-21. So that's down the road. And so it's like, there's a lot of roster stuff going on. So, yeah, that's.
I think it's obviously it's fluid. Yes. But I mean, I see a scenario where Alford's able to keep some of those players, mm-hmm. especially as you mentioned, some of those that, hey, man, if they leave Nevada, if they leave Reno, no matter where they end up, they're going to have to sit another year. So that's another year of not playing. And if any of these young men have any aspirations of playing beyond college, well, then that's another year you're not going to
ever sit get down. Back. You never get
right.
back.
Right. So it's like I can envision him keeping most of that roster intact. I don't see him now. He's going to bring in his own recruits, obviously. But hey, he'll actually recruit, unlike the previous.
Yeah. Yeah. If I'm going to guess, I don't want to guess, but like guys who are more likely to leave, like you said, guys who already transferred once, I'm assuming they'd stay unless they get a waiver.
Right.
So guys who more likely than not, like Lindsey Drew, more likely, I'd say, just because of circumstance, he can leave.
He could leave, right.
More quickly.
Drew could take off and probably play right away.
Yeah, yeah, as a grad transfer. Jordan Brown, same thing. He didn't play very much, and maybe he's not too happy because I'm this highly recruited guy, barely played. And everybody else, like all the guys who need the red, like those are like the two that could see most likely leaving. But with Alfred having the relationship with Brown, that's helpful to maybe keep him around town. So, and pump him up to be, you're probably going to be the guy next year because he lost all five starters. So,
right, and they'll probably run. I could see a scenario where Alfred probably runs the offense through Brown, where you know they were just gonna sure as 2 points is back to the basket. In there, you know, while he gets his offense in place. So yeah, I could see that happening, keeping most of the roster intact. So nothing in college really surprises me now.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
All right, so I got this too. We got the contract here. I want to go over that because that's quite interesting. So it's a 10-year deal, which is hilarious because days before he took the UCLA job, he's like, I'm in New Mexico, 10-year contract. I'm like, oh, boy. Never believe a word that comes out of coach's mouth until they're on, unless they're on the court coaching your team. They could leave at any time.
Yes. And as somebody who, yeah. Somebody, I don't know if you ever saw, I think it was SB Nation. They had, you know, they do their little videos. That's kind of cool. They did one on the beef between Jalen Rose and Chris Webber, which was awesome.
I've heard it. I've seen those around. I don't think I've seen that one, though.
It's good. I watched it last Saturday. It was awesome. But they had one about Bobby Petrino when he was when he was with the Falcons.
Halftime!
Yeah, and it's just... I don't need to say anything. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But if you don't want to see it, Bobby Petrino.
I'm correct. He left a note and left a halftime, right? Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I think so. I had a running joke with my little brother that when that happened, basically, he told it. I can envision a scenario. He jotted down the letter, made the copies, told his family, get in the car.
Yeah, I'll give you 10-minute head start. I'll meet you at the airport.
Right. He basically pulled the Baltimore Colts on.
Oh, yeah, middle of the night.
Yeah.
Art Modell.
But yeah, we say all that to say Bobby Petrino when it comes to that. Don't just take it with a grain of salt.
Okay.
Just an entire thing is salt.
Yeah, exactly. So here's what they're doing. So I guess the way they could change it because the Board of Regents aren't involved in hiring like they are in most states is kind of a new thing in Nevada. Typically, it's like, okay, what can you pay the state employee? Because that's what they are at the school. So it's a 10-year deal, $11.6 million, fully guaranteed. So basically, the mini John Gruden with that deal he's getting there, 10-year, fully guaranteed. Fully guaranteed. Like, what are you doing?
Fitting, since
the gambling state of the world.
Exactly. Silverstone, baby.
There we go. So, exactly. So, the rules changed a couple years ago. So, his deal is actually pretty good because, okay, 10 years over 11.6 million, that's what, 1.16 year averaged?
Right.
He's only, like, I say only... $500K his first 2 years, so it's like so that I did the numbers like I was doing. TJ was hired at UNLV, he's still the highest paid coach at conference at the moment now, and at 1.1 million. So kudos Rebels boosters who want to give him money to pay for that. But
they got money to burn.
apparently, hopefully, he does well. We'll see. But like Leon Rice to get 650, like he needs to be more. Craig Smith and guys like. We're kind of wondering, like, hey, where would the new coach be? Or would Musselman surpass?
Surpass.
I'm calling him TJ. That's easier way to do it. I call him Coach TJ. So
yeah, it's going to be at least another year or so if I get that guy.
Yeah.
Coach O.
That's
going to be talking about Coach Orgeron.
Oh, that's true, yeah. Okay. Well,
we'll work it out.
Yeah, we got to workshop that. Okay, there we go. So, so we'll go with Coach TJ. But it's only $500K, so this is a pretty good deal. Because I know he made good money at UCLA, I don't remember exactly, I should have looked it up, his details at New Mexico, probably about the same he's getting right now, maybe slightly less. But getting him for $500K and then like raises throughout the year, every couple of years, is a good way to do it, especially when you tell the guy it's fully guaranteed, which means he could leave for a job tomorrow and still get that $11.6 million. There might be some offsetting buyout stuff, which I'll get, let me look in a minute here. Yes, which it does. The contract has strong buyouts on each side. He'll pay. Yeah, it's only fully guaranteed if he stays there or gets fired, which I still don't get. If you get fired, why do you get paid still? Right. That's weird. But like, if he leaves within the first year, $8 million, $6 million year two, $4 million year three. So basically, after like year four, it's a pretty manageable buyout. So hey, if UCLA wants him back, it's gonna wait 4 years to bring him back.
Oh yeah, I was thinking that too, because you know, again, with the risk of bringing in Alford, is if he has just like half of the success Musselman had, or even half of the success Alford had when he was at New Mexico, you're gonna have to sit there and tell me Alford, a Midwestern guy, went to Indiana if a Big Ten team comes calling. Let's say Illinois or Indiana, especially that
high. Really, Illinois. They're living in the past too.
Yeah. I mean, that 04 Final Four, that Final Four in 2005 might as well have been 1965.
Yeah, it's been a while, but I'm thinking more Coach Izzo, Michigan State, maybe something like that. If he ever wants to, but seriously, would like with Alford having coached at Iowa and UCLA, and then also obviously New Mexico in between. He's only like in coaching the year. He's only a 54-year guy, so it's not quite old for most basketball coaches. And he's been to, this is the fifth job, I believe, or D1 job. Maybe he's fine. Like, okay, UCLA, it's weird too. I think it could go both ways. UCLA is a unique situation where if you do just bad enough that, but still pretty good, you're out. Or it's like, oh, I've already had the success. It's tough going. I'm cool hanging out in Nevada and being this great team and the pressure is not really there, making really good, making almost $1 million a year after a couple of years. But
you're making the turnip. You're making the postseason, not necessarily the NCAA. Maybe you're getting into the NIT or CBI or something, and you're fine there.
Yeah, and you've already had the success. Like, oh, it's tough at Iowa. I did that before. I did UCLA, where maybe it's fine being at Nevada, where it's make an NCAA tournament 3 out of the 5 years. Just something where it's you're still a top three team of the conference, and he doesn't have that itch to go back to or go to. There could be issues like Arizona could open up with Sean Miller down the road, maybe sooner than later, but that huge buyout's pretty big. But what do you think? Like, is he at a guy where he's had that big-time job and now maybe he's more comfortable being here and doing what – because look how revered he was in New Mexico for what he did. If he does that in Nevada, and if you looked at last year, last 2 years with Musselman, like, why not stay there and be the king of Reno and still pull in well over seven figures after midway through the contract?
Say the last part, your question part.
Well, I mean, like, why not just be the king of Reno and not going? Why go anywhere else?
I don't know. I think it's he may just want that one last shot where, UCLA ended badly, but he was successful there. Maybe if Iowa wasn't exactly great either when he was there. I think they barely got out. They didn't even get out the first weekend. I think once. Second round appearance in his second year.
Yeah.
That was another. Him at Iowa was basically a middling, lot like Arkansas, just not a bad team, but just not good.
Yeah, three NCAA tournament appearances, two conference tournament wins.
Two tournament wins. So, I mean, maybe if he gets that success, and maybe it's, and for me, it's the human nature in the sense that if he is successful, if he has the type of success that he did in New Mexico, that he does in Reno, King of Reno was great. He's pulling in good money. But imagine if, and I'll go back to Indiana. He's from Indiana, won a national title at Indiana. If the Indiana job opens up, and I think it's Archie Miller that's the coach there.
I have to look and see. I'm not sure at the moment, but it's a good point.
Right. If the Indiana job opens up, imagine if a couple of years down the road, he's successful in Nevada and the Indiana job opens up. Imagine that pull, that the alma mater pull of, hey, you could be the one that makes Indiana basketball nationally relevant for the first time in forever.
Former player, Bobby Knight. Who's that again? Right. You win national titles and like, okay,
right? That pull could be there, or it could just be sort of Indiana adjacent. Like I joke the Illinois job, or
it's still, what
you could say. It's there. And Chris Murray said it best when I saw his video clip about the Musselman hire. Nevada is a stepping stone job, and there's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. You've got to think, going back to 1999, Trent Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
parlayed the success of Nevada into a bevy of Power 5 jobs. I'm still sitting here thinking, how does a man go from Stanford to LSU? Mm-hmm. I'm still thinking about that. It's been 10 years.
I know.
Mark Fox parlayed the Nevada job into Georgia. Eric Musselman was another one, parlayed his success into the Arkansas job. So it's a stepping stone job, so it's nothing wrong with that. So you got to I'm keeping that in mind as to why I don't. Mentioning the buyout, the buyout amount dwindling is I could envision him leaving.
You could, but also if it's a stepping stone job, that means your team's still a pretty good team if your coaches go on to bigger jobs. So I know Nevada has had that string of success, coach after coach after coach, where they've been really good. They've had their step backs, but if you are a stepping stone job, that typically means when that coach leaves, you have to have a good AD to make the right hire, which looks like they do, seems like. They've had other coaches replaced, but it just means your program's still a good program. That means you're still really good if your job comes here for 5 years, you win 80 games or something, a couple of tournaments. Like, oh, great. I mean, you're doing a good job. Alford did say, like, Doug Knuth, the 80s, like, I don't want a guy here for 3 to 4 years. And it is. It's all what Alford says, like, well, I'm good. I want to be here. It's like, yeah, I get that. But
he said that in New Mexico. That's not a 10-year deal.
He's also a guy who doesn't have a job at the moment. I'm just saying, what would you say to get a job if you're like, oh, I need a job. I need something. This place is pretty good. I had this great success at other place. It seemed like a step down, but they had a really good year last year. I'm good. I can chill here for 3 years and see what comes next around the corner.
Yeah. And maybe I'm just pessimistic, but I could see that. Mm-hmm. A scenario where that he has, like I said, even a fraction of the success he had in New Mexico. I guess envision him bolting for a Big Ten job or another Pac-12 job, assuming the Pac-12 doesn't
implode.
Exactly.
Here's an interesting thing really quick. So Doug Knuth mentioned this. He goes, we talked to Steve and we didn't want another coach here for 3 or 4 years and he's gone. And he said, like this Knuth saying, referring to Alford, he said straight up he wanted to be in a great community and a place that loves basketball, wins championships. He said that we're at the top of the conference, wants to keep us there and wants to win tournament games. And that's why the buyouts are ridiculous. Never in there did he say he wants to be at Nevada for a long time.
Who, Alford?
Yeah, like that was Knuth relaying what his conversation with Alford. Yeah. There's no point in saying, I want to be here. I'm done moving around. I want to coach. Just not to say my final stop, but one of those guys like, no, I'm here for the long haul. He just says he wants to win. And so I'm just saying, it's look who you're dealing with.
Yeah.
Not just Alford, but a college coach, basketball coach who can make good money.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
It's just it's a college basketball coach who makes money. And so not just what Alford has said before, but like I said, I don't believe a coach until they're on the court or floor with their team or field coaching them what they're doing.
Exactly. And yeah, it's – I hope he stays, just for the good of the league and the school and all that. But yeah, with 20 – if we're still here in 2023, you wake up Sunday morning – offered in talks to be head coach of Indiana to replace the fired Archie Miller.
Exactly.
Here
is one quick thing about the contract, really, and we'll kind of get some expectations. They structured it perfectly. He gets $500K year one, $500K year two. So let's say he does really good, and they keep the success fairly close to what they're doing, or even surpass it. Year three, it more than doubles to $1.15 million. And so say he does well, it's like, oh, I'm going to bring you – you're only making $500K. I'll give you $2 million to come to some Iowa State job. You know what I mean? Or some,
Illinois. Or
something. Yeah, Oklahoma State, something where it's like, oh, it's a Power 5 job, but do I really want to go there? So it doubles there. Then it goes up like 500 or 5K. I think that's right. 50,000. Let me get my math right here. Through the end of the contract, which is a nominal bump, essentially, for what in relation to what he gets. But that year two to year three, if he has success, that's kind of what keep teams away. Plus, he still has that buyout after year three of still $8 million.
Right.
If I'm correct on that, was that after 3 years? I believe so. So what do you think? So after all this we've discussed, we've been reading up about a week, how would you grade the hire?
I'd give it the offer hire I'll give it a solid B. Given Alford's experience, who they were able to bring in, them bringing in Alford, given Alford's track record in the league, and given that he's a name and he's had success, as opposed to promoting from within. I didn't want them to promote from within because they did that after Trent Johnson and just sort of whittled down to the 9-22 year under David Carter. I didn't want them to promote from within. You wasn't sure about if the UC Irvine coach, the Montana coach, was even interested in the Nevada job. I hadn't read anything about it. So I give it a solid B, a solid B. And given the contract, it is buyout heavy. So everybody wins.
I did make a slight error. Sorry. It's year one, $8 million. It goes 8-6-4-3-2 and then like 1.5 essentially the rest of the way. So that's what it was. Oh. I'm about to
so
say
they got 5 years.
Right? Yeah. Four, I would, I'd say, 5 years. I'd say, minimum 3 to 4 minimum, I'd say. So I give it a B. I'll go higher if he can retain most like Jordan Brown specifically. So I think it's a B. Like, again, like you said, look at the success compared to anybody in the conference. He comes in like Eli's, I know he's not in Europe right now. He says like, hey, maybe I'll text you an article or DM you. I'm like, just chill. We can do this when we get back. Ranking the coaches because he's out hanging out in like Iceland and other places out in the Europe.
I told Eli, chill, Eli. Enjoy.
Man. I also told him too, good thing Brexit didn't happen because who knows if he did. That finally got extended. So that's a positive out there. No kidding. But he's like Alford number one by far. If you rank the coaches, he's number one within the conference. Would you agree with that?
I would. Other than, I would say he is number one because Smith's success was great, but it was year one. Dutcher's keeping SDSU steady. Paul's year has gone up and down. Great, impressive first year, crashed in the second year, mostly to injuries and whatnot. So, Alford would be number one for me.
I'd probably go, maybe Alford. Because he mentioned Rice, Alford, Smith as his top three. And so I'm like, I get Leon's done a lot with Boise, a major player in the Mountain West for the past while. Even before the WAC, they weren't very good, really. They've just been okay. But I don't know. You got Alford, Smith, Rice, Weir, and I'd say Dutcher, but just because he's kind of came out of nowhere, but his consistency has been lacking a bit.
Right. And you mentioned Leon Rice. I think, and real quick, I'm just over the moon on Boise State. I think they're going to return everybody back. I love this Derek Alston kid. Boise State's going to be book it, cold take, high take, whatever. Good.
Bring it. What do you got?
Top three. They'll be in contention to win the Mountain West.
Boom. You know who may not be in contention? Utah State losing Cada.
Yeah, I saw that. And he is hiring an agent. Well, I read he intend to hire an agent. That's not the same.
Well, here's the thing. Reading through his release, and somebody got mad at me on Twitter for what I wrote because I did it really quick. I'm like, all right, let me put in a clarification thing. But when he says, I fully intend to hire an agent, then the next sentence is, to keep all my options open in case I want to return to school. It's like, what are you doing there?
It's like the Andrew Nevhard, Florida's point guard. He declared, but I don't think he mentioned hiring an agent. So, again, keeping their options open.
very true. I know the NBA has different rules. Like, can you hire an agent and still return?
No. Once you hire an agent, you're done. You're forfeit. As far as my interpretation of it, the moment you hire an agent, I need you forego your eligibility, which...
Yeah, I thought they...
We could do a podcast on just everything that's wrong with the NCAA. But I think once you hire an agent, that's it.
That's true. I thought they... I'm going to try to find it really quick. I know they made some tweaks to it. Like, I think they may have changed when the combine is and stuff, so...
They might have, but as far as my interpretation... Again, my interpretation...
Yeah, when you hire an agent, it's like you're done.
Yeah, it's done.
Here we go. Members, NCAA players adopt a rule. That's 2009. That's not new. I'll look in this later, but I'm pretty sure. Okay. A player. Sign an agent. That makes sense. Here's where it changed. We're both right on this. A player who declares for the draft stays in lose his college ability when he's drafted. However, he could sign with an agent following an evaluation period from the NBA Undergraduate Advisory Committee. So, like, it could be 50th pick or whatever, 20th pick. And if he ends up goes undrafted, he can then have the opportunity to return to school for at least another year only after terminating all agreements with that agent.
Okay.
Effective with the current draft 2019.
Sure.
So he can hire an agent. If he goes undrafted, maybe I will update that part because that's pretty important. Because I knew there was a new rule that changed.
Okay.
Up until last year, when you had an agent and say in draft, left undrafted, you're done. It's like, crap, that sucks if you sign an agent. Because it's like, what's the point of going through the draft process without an agent? There's so much to do. Who can do help for you? They do work for you. They can help pay for things until you get drafted. Just basic expenses, workout money, whatever you need to get around and do stuff. If you don't have that, that's very hard to get drafted. Like, who has thousands upon thousands of dollars to go work out for 8 different NBA teams flying across the country in a 3-week period?
They don't. None of them do.
No.
Most of them don't.
Unless you get those $100 handshakes.
Yeah. Which, even those aren't enough.
Yeah, which I'm like, cool, if you get it, just don't get caught, I guess. I don't know. So he can. So I will update that. But so if you are in the draft with agent but going draft, you can come back assuming you cut ties with that agent, which wink, wink, nod, nod, you'll be my agent next year probably. You know what I mean? It's like, come on. But as long as you're not doing anything like agent stuff as you're back in school, clearly, I like that rule too, because there's going to be more guys declare than spots for, because you have international players. You'll have guys like Keita, who came out of nowhere. Utah State got him from August in Portugal, kind of. Oh, cool. You're good. Awesome. Come play basketball for us. So I hope he comes back, because like Fox Sports and other places, like Fox had number 9 in the country for next year. I'm like, whoo.
Yeah, I saw that too. I
saw a couple top 20, but 9? Slow down.
Yeah. But I mean, think about it. We're in early April, so we still got the rest of these NBA playoffs. And
6 weeks or something, yeah.
Roughly that. That's just the first round.
Yeah, pretty exactly.
And, you know, we got the combines and everything like that going on. So I think the last day to drop out or pull your name out is it May?
I had the article. Let me pull it up really quick. I had all the dates and everything. It's you get a couple weeks. I think it's May. I want to say May 8th here.
I thought it was late May.
Let me see but here. Combine withdrawal deadline is April 21st is the day to declare. Let's see. Oh, I actually don't. Oh, withdrawal deadline May 29th.
May 29th. Oh, yeah. Because one of the Florida players put his name in, but I don't believe he hired an agent or didn't mention it. But they have mentioned it in the article that I read. They mentioned the draft day. I knew it was like late May. They got like a month and a half to figure it out.
It's just hilarious. Like, here's the quote exactly for Kata put in his tweet. I plan to hire an agent with the full intent of staying in the draft while also retaining my eligibility should I return to school.
Yeah.
It's like, I guess if I don't get drafted, I could come back.
And that's fine. I mean,
yeah, no, that's perfectly fine.
If he comes back, I mean, I still think Utah State, even if he stays in the draft, goes through all that, I still like Utah State to be tops in that league in the Mountain West, because they return quite a bit. They'll be this year's Nevada. They'll be next season's Nevada.
Yeah,
we passed the target from Reno to Logan.
The fire extinguisher, as we may say.
the golden fire extinguisher.
Exactly. I think, we'll wrap up real quick. I just think even if Keita leaves, they made, like, with Keita there, they're my odds on favorite to be the preseason number one. Without him, top 3. They're still good.
Yeah.
And they have other players, but they're just not the overall win favorite, I would say.
Probably not the overall favorite, obviously, but I feel like the rest of the league, like, what do you expect? I mean, what are we expecting out of teams like Nevada, San Diego State's going to be – they'll have players that I like. I still like the Mitchell kid. Fresno's rebuilding.
UNLV, we'll see.
UNLV, did they keep all their players?
They're still working on it. They got a few guys back, but they're still – new coach, so that's part of it too. They are – yeah, I'm just saying they're – the stability of the league probably – I don't know. It's going to be Boise State. Actually, technically, Air Force. They bring back everybody. And I would ask you this because we don't get to talk hoops too often on the podcast, and we don't talk, well, we do hoops, but like just my personal opinions about team. I told Eli and Air Force to do this. They have, if you've seen the box score for Air Force, they have what, 20 guys it seems like that play.
Yeah, it does.
Do the hockey lineup. Sub every five in, five out. Just and like I'm sure, like this is not a joke. Like you have, there's a reason they run the triple option in Air Force, Navy, Army,
small service team. Academy. Yeah.
There's still the same restrictions for basketball, less difference compared to football and basketball. Like those restrictions don't bother too much, I'd say, or don't hinder them too much. But they should be running like Mike D'Antonio, Steve Kerr offenses in the Air Force Academy. Basically, go pull an LMU back in the 80s with Len Bias. Run as fast as you can, press every time, and sub five in, five out, and just wear the other teams out. I still contend they should do that.
Like those LMU teams with Hank Gathers and all of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of the, just like that you mentioned in football, you have your restrictions, meaning you can't bring in certain players. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you either go run an offense that'll score 100 points a game, or go the other way and, score, limit your possessions, be, Virginia. Very much Virginia, in the sense of limiting possessions. We're going to run backdoor cuts till you die.
Yeah.
And try to win games 43-40.
Please don't. No, I don't like that. They did that a couple years ago, or when the Mountain West had like five teams, I think, years ago. But I'm serious. I'm not kidding. I say it. Just go five in, five out, and just run the team to death you're playing against. You're already at 7,000 feet anyways. Come on.
I believe Wyoming runs a similar...
They can a little bit.
Feels like they do. Oh, they should.
Justin James will score 28 points a game and just crush you.
Oh, that too.
But I like it though, man. Should they do it? Should we send an inquiry to Air Force Academy to change their basketball status?
The worst they could do is say no, or just ignore it. Why not? Let's do it. Let's diversify the offense. Offenses, let more like LMU, more like North Carolina. North Carolina likes to run and gun. Auburn likes to shoot up a bunch of threes. More like North Carolina, Auburn, less like Virginia and Texas Tech, even though they played for the national championship.
Yeah, cool. All right, I think we're good. It's good. No, it's fine. If you can win, I'm not complaining, but I'm just saying for Air Force success, go for it. That's what I want to see.
Just run gun,
Should we make a hashtag run Falcons run?
Well, we did that. We tried to do the quinterback quarterback thing.
We did the quinterback.
Not quarterback. Quinterback.
Yeah, the quinterback. Yeah. We did the Airwolf, whatever it was, I think.
Airwolf.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed Airwolf didn't catch on.
I know.
I was still using it.
I know, we should.
Nobody was falling.
Do it, folks. Come on, what's the deal?
I'll do it. Who's with me, man?
I'm with you. We're always together.
Thank you.
Let's get that offense with the new quarterback and just start rolling and have... Man, they got Timmy Chang as the QB coach. Come on, they got Mummy. They got Norvell. Sling it.
Now, who's going to be the quarterback? You'll be the quarterback.
Exactly. That's another podcast later. We got to worry about that. We got to wait till fall camp for that one.
Yeah.
All right, I think we've exhausted. We went 1 hour, so I think that's a requisite to say time's up after we start trailing off about other things. One last question.
Okay.
Not football, not basketball, not ham. I'll make sure it's not ham question. But
I'm not interested then. But go ahead.
we talked pre-show about the Masters. We're not doing that either because that's boring.
Okay.
Yay or nay on Game of Thrones?
Nay.
Okay.
I tried.
Me too.
My brother watches it. I can't do that entity. But hey, God bless the people who they enjoy it, they watch it, they love it. More power to you. Just not my bag, man.
I agree. I tried. Like I watch like TV. I watch almost. I'll try anything. I'll record whatever. Like I'll give the show a try. I watch probably 80% of the first season. Just not for me. That's all I'll say. My wife watches it. I know. I know about Jon Snow. I know who Peter Dinklage is because he's a good actor. I know there's zombie dragons. There's actual dragons.
Yeah, White Walkers. There's something.
Winter snow, ice.
Winter snow, Red Wedding.
That's about it.
That's about as far as my knowledge of Game of Thrones goes.
Yeah, I was just curious because I tried. I'm like, just I'll watch other stuff, not for me. So
yeah, so I'll know whenever what time that show comes on in the East Coast or Central Time, I'll know. Oh, Game of Thrones is on.
Yeah, that's me. Exactly. I'll go do something. I'll stay off Twitter, I guess.
Yeah.
Hey, tonight.
What if you watch it? Have fun.
Yeah. No, I don't care. Watch it. Do what you do. I'm just curious because I never got into it. But I'll be watching Rockets Jazz tonight, so we'll see how that goes.
Nice. Good luck to you, Rockets.
Yes, and for work it'll be hilarious because we cover the Jazz, so it's like.
Yeah, that's right.
That is exciting. Right. It's fun at work. It's the best. So.
So it's like Nevada, Florida for you, but for seven games.
Exactly. I just kept walking around and say Rockets in five throughout the office on Friday.
And you know what? You're right. But don't tell your coworkers.
Or Jazz could win in seven. I wouldn't surprise me either. So,
yeah,
we'll see. We'll see how it goes. So, are your Magic in the playoff? Correct.
Yes, and we won Game One.
That's right, over Brooklyn. I want to say
Toronto.
Oh wait, Toronto. That's what it was. Ooh, good win. Kawhi Leonard. Oh, yes. Come on, show up, boy. I don't know what happened. I just saw the results, so I'm glad you're happy with that 1-0. So
I'm ecstatic.
Excellent. So let's end there. So NBA playoffs, not Game of Thrones fan. Who cares about the Masters? Early basketball picks here. We'll be back some other points for some other podcasts. I think we need to do more of you and all the other writers just to do some mini podcasts about these teams through spring and stuff. So maybe we'll work on that too through the summer just for some fun. So.
Yes, and also because, you know, we're getting towards the quiet period.
Very quiet period. And just look for some fun stuff. I'm going to bring back, or we're going to start working on our all-time teams, because that kind of took a snoozer in February because stuff happens.
Yeah. Basketball. I could work on it since we are in the quiet
period. We could. I know that's... Maybe we'll get that stuff going on. There'll be a few more rolling out. I know, like most of them, like half filled by everybody. So I'm like, oh, maybe we should actually finish that to get going. So we'll get those up. We got the NBA and NFL draft coming up. Also,
yes,
it's mid-April.
When is the draft? Honestly,
like, it's like in 2 weeks. So we got to hustle. We're behind on this one too, folks.
NFL could just take a back for a minute. Okay,
we'll talk about that. Hey, we'll educate people on Nevada players and everybody else. That's what we're gonna do. So.
Assuming anybody from Nevada gets drafted.
Good point. We'll see how it goes. You got the transfers. But we have that coming up. So look for some draft stuff from us. But what I was getting to, it's nearing our top 50 countdown for football.
Ah, that's right.
That's always exciting. Right. So I know this is
I love that time.
It is exciting. This is mostly a basketball podcast, but mixing some football stuff. So yeah, just stick around. Follow Brandon G. Blake if you want Orlando Magic basketball meltdowns and euphoria when they win. Jacksonville Jaguars stuff, which good luck to your Jags this year. Hopefully they is Bortles officially gone, right? Was he cut recently, or is he still on the roster lingering somewhere?
He's cut. That's he right. went to LA.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, LA.
Spent a whole bunch of money on Nick Foles, which
oh, that's right.
But
maybe?
Yeah,
there's potential.
Come for the Mountain West stuff, stay for everything else.
Exactly. All right, so have fun, everybody. Check us out at MWR.com. You know where to get us at, iTunes, Stitcher. Tune in wherever you get your podcast. To search Mountain West Wire, and you'll find us. And we'll be back. We'll be back down the road with maybe football, maybe basketball podcast. We'll let you know, but it'll be not too long. See you, folks.